Hello and welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to Movie Shmovie.
Episode number 020.
020.
Or as some might say, number 20.
20 if you're a normal person. Yeah. 020 if you're an amazing person like we are.
Yeah.
Amazing people.
It's an elite group. It's an elite club.
Yeah, it's a start.
Not everybody gets in.
Your numbers with zeros. It's a pretty good thing.
It's very optimistic. We always say that, but it really is.
Zero.
We're going to get up to that third digit someday.
We are.
It's going to turn into a one.
Yep. It's going to be
and
a
then
one.
Who knows what the hell we're going to do from there.
Then it's going to be a 1000.
We're going to add another zero?
And it's going to be a 1000th episode.
Oh, my God.
We're going to be old men.
We can't get a hold of our. We can't get ahead of ourselves.
Right. Yeah, we're going to
be.
We got
to stay focused.
$100,000 bracket.
What the hell is that? What are you talking about?
I'm talking about when we make a lot of money.
When everyone listens to this podcast, not just the three people that are our best friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's important.
One day. Okay.
Dream.
All right. We're going to be talking about a new Martin Scorsese film today.
Yeah.
Called Hugo.
I say Scorsese.
Scorsese?
You Scorsese? Say Scorsese. Okay.
I don't know what's right.
Me either. I hear it pronounced both ways.
I have heard it both. I feel like just the way it rolls off my tongue.
Yeah.
Scorsese.
I could see that.
Martin Scorsese. I feel like when I was younger, I may have said it like that.
What? Okay, I see what you're doing there.
I'm not trying to say that like
when I was a fucking asshole, I used to pronounce it like that.
Before I knew how to articulate and pronounce words properly.
Before I was in the fourth grade, I used to pronounce it like that.
Yeah, when I still pooped my pants and peed the bed. I'm not trying to say that you do, but
yeah,
I mean, sometimes it's crossed my mind.
So a person of that much importance, I feel like you could pronounce it maybe 15 different ways.
I'm going to go with Scorsese.
Okay.
Scorsese. When I say Scorsese, I always feel like I'm saying Patrick Swayze.
For the sake of...
Rest in peace.
...of contradicting your pronunciation, I'm not even going to say his first name as the last name anymore. I'm just going to say Marty.
Marty
Score.
That's what his close friends call him.
Yeah, well,
that's what we call him.
We can call him. Yeah,
talk to him.
Last time I met him in my brain,
and he woke up and came over, right?
Yeah. So this is his new release movie. It's supposed to be released on Thanksgiving, right?
Yeah, it'll be out. Yeah, by the time this podcast is up.
Hugo. This is a very different movie than anything my man Marty has ever done.
His first PG movie.
First PG movie
I
he's
think
done.
18 or 19 years.
Let's go down to the list of some great movies he's done.
Where to start, man?
Where to start?
The Departed.
Departed. Aviator.
Aviator.
Shutter Island.
That's just recent, though, man. Go back to Taxi Driver.
Taxi Driver.
And probably one of my favorite movies, Goodfellas.
The Departed. How do you feel about The Departed? Casino, arguably one of the most overrated movies of all time.
Casino?
I didn't really like Casino.
I like Casino a lot. I don't love it. I mean, actually, you know what? Take it back. I do kind of love Casino.
Raging Bull. I mean, Mean Streets. He also directed Michael Jackson's Bad.
Yeah.
Which is an incredible, incredible music video.
For sure.
One of his best. So, this movie.
Oh, he also did Cape Fear, the remake of Cape Fear.
Oh, yeah, Cape Fear. Good
which I think is kind of underrated.
I love that movie.
Anyway, this movie, not anything like those.
Ain't nothing.
This is his
extreme departure, I'd say.
Yeah, he's going more, like, this is an entry more into, like, I guess, the family PG world 3D, his, you know, first 3D film.
Yeah.
Really making use of the technology, but before we get too far into Hugo, we're gonna talk about our Mighty Minute review this
Mighty
week.
Mighty Minute review,
and we're gonna be talking about a film that we mentioned or we were told to mention.
Yeah, we were told to mention
in our Halloween breakdown, and I think we neglected it intentionally because neither one of us had seen it.
Yeah,
and had been urged by a very close person to me, my girlfriend Erin.
Yep,
and some other friends of ours. That it was, you know, basically a classic that how dare us not mention
how
it.
How dare you, bastards.
Yeah. She actually called us both bastards.
How dare you.
And she
you.
Smacked us.
Yep.
Yep.
Which is
but I won't hit her back because that's not what I do.
As disrespectful.
Yeah, I don't do that. Yep. She, on the other hand, maybe she does.
Smacked,
she hit us both.
Slapped a doo-doo up.
Anyway, Suspiria.
Suspiria.
Is this film. We took it upon ourselves to get a copy of it,
ooh,
to watch it, and what the hell happened?
What the hell happened? Okay.
Oh, my God.
It's an insane movie. It is a
That's being kind.
Horror film released in 1977. And it's about a new coming ballet dancer that kind of comes to an academy. And she comes at a time where craziness is happening. Like, people are dying, disappearing.
Yeah.
The circumstances of this whole school is just very janky. It's just a bunch of really weird things going on. And the chaos ensues from there.
Now, chaos ensues. That's another one of your lines.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
You love saying that.
It's such a... I'm a real big fan of cliche things.
Oh, I know.
It's so funny to me. Like, it's so funny for me to drop a cliche on you.
It makes me laugh.
Yeah. It's so funny, obviously. Yes, every time. So this movie is one of those movies. Okay. So first and foremost, before we saw this movie, we went to IMDb to do some investigation.
Yes.
7.4 out of 10 in the movie was released in 1977.
And most lists that you look at for any kind of like cinema societies or film critics groups or even just like the movie news sites that most people check daily.
8 out of 10.
Easily. But I'm talking like top 10 lists.
Yes.
Kind of quality material.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've always seen the name and I never, I guess, took the time to watch it. And I've heard a lot of good things about, you know, the production, the music, the movie, like all this shit. And you watched it first or attempted to watch it,
mm-hmm.
couldn't finish it. I watched it and then I saw through social media that same night that I was watching it,
mm-hmm.
you were watching it.
Yes.
What are the chances? And we weren't together.
We were.
Maybe in mind, not in body though.
By the craziness that is this movie.
I don't know. I don't get it. It's another one of those movies that I don't get. I mean, I'll give the kudos to, like, the music and visually,
right.
you know, for its time, I get it. Like, I get the accolades that it gets and, you know, the attention that it gets, but having not been from that time and not exposed to it at maybe a younger age, like, some of the people that we know that are our age that saw it when they were younger, I guess it would have a completely different impression on them, but being a little older and having seen other types of films that... I don't know, carry more weight to me, you know? Like, it just didn't do anything for me. I mean, I know...
Storyline-wise, it's crazy sauce. Like, it's, you have a hard time determining what's going on for a long time. It's up until maybe an hour into the movie, and no exaggeration, before you actually know what's going on in the movie. The soundtrack is incredible. It's what drives the movie. Besides the visuals almost remind me of A Clockwork Orange.
Yeah.
Very bright, beautiful sets. They are incredible. Like, it kind of takes you back. The shots, the wide shots, the pans.
Yeah.
All the things are done really beautifully. But there's the rest of the movie that is...
But then there's the whole movie.
Yeah.
You know? But then there's the fact of, I don't know, I just... When you actually, like you said, you get into the story, there was a point where I was kind of getting into it, like when you find more out about, like, the coven and, like, you know, the backstory of the academy and the witch or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was getting into it, but there was just, I don't know, just nothing weighted enough to keep me vested. And, like, you're right, the music is really great. I remember reading an interview with John Carpenter a while ago saying, like, that was a movie that, you know, musically, and I always liked the Halloween theme, like, as, you know, one of my...
Mm-hmm.
go to, you know, when I talk about, like, film scores or music that you automatically associate with something, you know, with Halloween coming out, like, a year or so after Suspiria did, I remember John Carpenter saying, like, it was something that inspired him.
Right.
I mean, you can hear it. I mean, the music at parts, to me, is even scarier than the movie, and, I mean, that's awesome for the composer and, you know, the score itself, but for the movie, I don't know, man. I don't get it. I know they're making a remake. I think, like, David Gordon Green is doing a remake of it.
Yeah.
That maybe it'll be cool.
Maybe.
Maybe Natalie Portman will do some more ballerina stuff in it.
I would love to see Natalie Portman in it.
Yeah. I don't know. This wasn't for me.
Yeah.
Would you watch it again?
I think I would.
Just to try it again?
I would.
Maybe give it another shot.
I would show it to a bunch of people. Like, I think that something that... It's honestly disturbing how crazy it is.
Yeah.
Not just that it's violent. It's not that. It's just a weird movie.
It's, like, so, a lot of it, like, a lot of the, I don't know, I can't think of the right word, like, so many things are so arbitrary, like, random cuts to things, like, in the middle of a scene, something just happens, and you're just like, what does that have to do?
Yeah, with anything.
And I'm sure there's some logic behind it, and maybe I'm just not smart enough, or, mm-hmm. like, not enough of a cinemaphile, or whatever you want to call, or cinephile.
Cinnabon.
Oh, we should go to Cinnabon.
We should go to Cinnabon.
Yeah. Yeah, Maybe I'll give it a shot. Yeah, maybe give not. It a shot. Or I'll just continue living my life. All right. Suspiria. So that's Suspiria. It's everywhere.
It's
everybody loves it but us. So we're gonna move on. Again, we're doing Hugo. It's gonna be in theaters now. Before we get into talking, you know, basically our thoughts on it, we do have a clip that we want you to check out. Again, Martin Scorsese's new film, PG, definitely family fare, in theaters now. Here's a clip from Hugo.
If you've ever wondered where your dreams come from, this is where they're made.
What is that? I think it's a message from my father.
Do you want to know?
Yes.
Things you're too young to understand.
Hugo, a Martin Scorsese picture in 3D, rated PG, November 23rd.
So yeah, Hugo.
So yeah.
Okay, this is a very big departure from any other movie that Marty has done. Now, this is interesting because I honestly thought from the marketing that it was an animated film. The right. pictures all looked animated.
Right.
The screenshots that I saw looked a little animated. It looked right. like it had a little animatronics mixed with... I did not know what this movie was going to be about.
Even the poster. Looking at the poster right now as we're talking, it looks animated.
You're right.
I did not think that, but I definitely see where you... Somebody that's going to go see the film would think that.
Yeah. So this movie is set in the 1930s. Paris, and basically an orphan, lives in this train station fixing clocks in this train station. And he discovers a automata.
Automaton?
Automaton? No, something I've seen like it spelled like a million different. Automaton, a automated sort of robot that can draw.
Okay.
And this orphan had just lost his father very recently. He's stranded kind of in the situation working. Right. This is his only sense of self-worth is coming from working. Setting these clocks in this train station, and he discovers this this automated doll, and from there the action kind of picks up. It's really about that and everything that comes about from finding this doll and seeing the connection to his father. He feels like this is a sign from his father to kind of, he's sending a message to his son, and it pretty much unfolds from there.
Yeah, that is the backstory. I mean, that's pretty much.
It's a very complex film.
It gets really like heavy. It gets really kind of. I guess a lot starts to go on. Like, there's a lot of little side things going on. A really big cast, just to kind of throw a couple names out there. Ben Kingsley stars as one of the main characters, Papa George, and who ends up being George Melies. Is it Melies? Melies?
I think it's Milius. Milius.
Sacha Baron Cohen. Fast. Yeah, and also, you know, it sounds better, like, coming with that cool accent in the movie.
Yeah.
Milius. It's kind of Scorsese, same thing, you know.
Yeah, same thing.
Sacha Baron Cohen is in the film as one of the station inspectors.
Christopher Lee. Big fan. Jude Law
plays the young boy, Hugo's father. Chloe Moretz, who was in Let Me In, which I absolutely loved. She was also in Kick-Ass and 500 Days of Summer. Also, God, there's so many people in this movie. Ray Winstone stars as his uncle, the little boy's uncle. Emily Mortimer has a small role in the film. Just a really cool cast. And that's kind of like, it's one of those weird things like, oh, yeah, it's a Martin Scorsese movie, so everybody wants to be involved.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, all the characters, like, nothing, with some of them, more of the names that I mentioned later on just now, like, they're there and they're set pieces, but I don't see where they really play into the story as much. And
right.
like, there's like a tension set to them that I feel like just like draws the movie longer than it actually like has the right to be.
Mm-hmm.
in a lot of ways. I think the movie looked, I personally felt that it looked incredible. I mean,
oh yeah,
it was really weird. Like, the opening shot was really nice, like a really great like kind of wide shot in to see Hugo kind of hanging out in this clock tower, like watching the patrons of the train station. And, you know, like introduction to the station inspector and, you know, Hugo running through the walls of the station because he basically lives there as an orphan because his father's passed on. And, you know, really, like, abrupt title card flies up. It kind of, like, disconnected me for a little bit from the actual movie. It took a
long time before
that. Yeah, it was, like, what? Like, 10 minutes almost, it felt like. Yeah. It almost, like, why did you even need it at that point?
Right.
But, I don't know, like, I feel like it's a... It's a really... I did like the movie overall. It definitely wasn't the kind of... From the marketing, the kind of fantasy family... fun, almost like a holiday film that's not about the holiday. You know how sometimes movies come out and they kind of have that holiday vibe, but they have nothing to do with the holiday?
Yeah.
Like all the Harry Potter movies have nothing to do with holidays, but you kind of feel holiday when you watch them.
Right.
And this film, like, I feel like had that vibe to it, but just didn't kind of stand as high as I thought it would.
It's a...
Just from the people that are involved with it, yeah, you know?
It's a lot of stuff, man. It's a kids movie. It's also a love letter to old film.
Oh, absolutely.
To classic film. And by that, I mean that the story heavily revolves around, although Hugo is a main character in the story, Ben Kingsley's character, George, he is, as they figure out, a filmmaker. He existed. He's a real character, this gentleman. Made films. He was in the 1920s was when he made films. When did he make films? Like, when did the actual character, the person?
I think it was in the early 1900s. The one that they reference in the movie, like A Trip to the Moon, was like in 1902.
Okay.
Like, that's kind of like that. There's something that Hugo finds that kind of starts this almost mystery that him and Isabel, who is Chloe Moretz, plays into finding out why this automaton or automata, like, drew this picture. Basically, just to kind of put some perspective, Hugo's father, who's played by Jude Law, is basically clocksmith? I don't know what the hell you call it.
He creates clocks.
He works on clocks.
He's a clocksmith.
I'm glad you said it, because I thought I almost did. I think clocksmith
He's a clocksmith, yeah.
So, he works at a museum. And
it's complex clocks. It's not just, like, small clocks. He makes huge clocks.
Yeah. And just the way things work. Like, yeah. He makes things work. And he works at a museum, and he brings home this automata or automaton, which is, like, basically it's like a robot that works on gears. And, you know, they're basically made to write or draw or something like that. And, you know, through the story, we just know that through time and, you know, I think because of the war going on, the museum is basically destroyed, and the father passes on. And the boy just basically holds on to this automaton, and, like, that's his goal, is to fix this, just like his dad fixed things. So he's like he scavenges throughout the train station finding pieces and parts to make this thing work again. And when he does get it working, he finds his photo, the automaton, you know, draws this image of, you know, a moon with a bullet going in it, you know, and they, through the research, you know, it kind of draws them to this gentleman named Papa George, who has a toy store in the train station.
Yeah.
And, you know, that sets us up for the whole discovery of who this character is, which is what you're referencing, which is, you know, there's a lot of truth to this movie, and which is kind of cool, and like, it does fall right into line with Martin Scorsese's role in film preservation with the Academy of Motion Pictures and Sciences. You know, he's very outspoken about, you know, preserving film, finding old film, vintage films, and making it something that exists forever so that we see where it came from.
Right.
And that's what you see in this film. Like, when we discover who George Melies is, or Melies is, it kind of puts into perspective, like, what his role was in film. Like, like you said, in real life, he's truly a pioneer of film. Like, he started making films, his own studio in, like, the late 1890s, in 1897, I think.
Yeah.
And in the film, you see this. Like, you see him talking about how, you know, he was inspired by watching demonstration by the Lumiere brothers, the camera that they made, and then he made his own studio, you know, and directed over 500 films. Just in the span of like 20 years, made 500 films.
That's a lot of films.
And, you know, he was, one of the sites I saw, and a friend of mine pointed it out, they called him a cinemagician. Like, he made things happen. He was one of the first people to basically color film, you know, to basically hand paint film to add color to it. And to work like with cutting film to provide special effects and things like that. It's kind of cool how it works it into the story.
It is.
It takes a lot. It takes a while to get to it.
It does. It takes a long time to get to it. I mean, this gentleman was pretty amazing. I mean, he had they took a couple liberties in the telling of the story, but his real life counterpart actually had something like 50 automatons or whatever, and he was into that and the creative process and basically how anything was made, and that obsession with construction of things helped him make film. Like his obsession with kind of making people believe something on film.
Right.
He took some creative leaps that a lot of people still to this day really don't take. It's kind of on the surface they look very silly, but the illusions that he created on film were pretty amazing.
Right.
You know, they are epic, in fact. And it's really interesting to see how this weaves into the story. However, that's not enough to make this a movie that's a kid's movie. I don't know if this is
a mass audience would watch.
I'm going to be honest. It was boring the first half an hour of the movie. I kind of fell asleep for the first 10 minutes. It was fucking boring.
Yeah, I think minutes. I dozed off,
It
too.
Picked up, though. Once it picked up, I really got into it.
It's a weird combination of, like, a visually stunning film. Let's not beyond even mentioning the 3D element, which I thought the 3D was actually really good. Like, pretty seamless.
Mm-hmm.
Really effective use of the technology. But it's almost like a weird combination of, like, visually stunning.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really great set design.
Yeah.
And then let's throw in film preservation. That's what all the kids are talking about these days. Like,
right.
That's what all those cartoons are about. It's so hip, you know? On one hand, let's go watch film preservation. The other one, let's go watch the third movie in the Chipmunks trilogy or whatever.
It's like a kid's movie.
You know, like, I don't feel like a family PG film is going to really hit in terms of people wanting to see it, especially with word of mouth.
It's heavy duty, man. It's a heavy duty movie. Like, it's clearly, like, beyond everything else. Fuck everything else we said.
Yeah.
It is a love letter to this director. Like, it is clearly, Scorsese loves his dude. Like, it's very apparent that he loves his work.
Yeah.
He loves what he did. He inspired him.
Yeah.
And that's what it's about. And the problem with that is that it's presented like a kid's film. And I get that. I get that it's a kid's film. But
right.
it's weird to have that much stuff packed into one film that exceeds, it's like 2 hours long, right?
Yeah, it's over 2 hours.
It's over 2 hours long. So I have a couple gripes with it.
Another thing to think about is, like you said, it's a love letter from Scorsese. I almost feel like this movie is based on a book called The Invention of Hugo Cabret by Brian Selznick that came out literally only 4 years ago, which blew my mind. I did not know that.
Right. It seems like from the book art and all that stuff, I thought this movie this book came out like 50s, 60s. Maybe before that.
You almost feel like it did. And literally, the year that it came out, not even a few months after, is when Martin Scorsese bought the screen rights to the book and had a script started, like, immediately.
Wow.
So, like, you know he read this book and about this character, like you said, that is obviously an inspiration to his art and to his trade and his skill, and inspired him in so many ways. You almost feel like it's like Scorsese sees himself as Hugo.
Right.
Being able to discover the importance of what this gentleman did back in the late 1800s and early 1900s with film. It's like, he's almost envious, you know, jealous that, like, oh, it's this kid, this character, Hugo. Like,
mm-hmm.
it really is him. I feel like Hugo almost takes on, like, he's a personification of Scorsese and how he discovered and appreciates what, you know, Melies did in his time. I mean, and the cool thing about it, too, is, like I said earlier, Martin Scorsese is so active in film preservation and always talks about it, like at the Oscars and whenever he talks, really, he always peppers it with mentions of how important it is and, you know, for future generations to see where it all started, which is amazing.
Yeah.
And to read that, like, literally, like, 6 years ago, is that they're still finding films of this filmmaker's, you know, literally in 2005, they found a copy of a film that he made called Cleopatra. Like, 6 years ago, they're still finding these somewhere.
Right.
You know, in private collections or museums or, you know, wherever they're finding them. It's just amazing. And, you know, it's because of filmmakers like him and, you know, preservationists and, like, the true, you know, I guess, I don't know what the right word is. Like, the people that are at the forefront of, you know, making sure that things like that are found.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. Found and preserved. You know, but again, a subject matter for a family film, PG, coming out on exactly. Thanksgiving in 3D, that by the poster looks like it's like a fun, you know, action adventure. I don't know that it's that. I mean, like, I feel like you're going to see a lot of love for this movie, and it's gotten really good feedback from what I've seen so far on, like, all the critic sites.
Yeah.
Because of, I think, the company associated with it, you know, Scorsese and all the actors, which...
I don't know how I feel about the kiss-assery of what happens when you have somebody like Scorsese's name attached to it.
You mean Marty?
Marty.
Yeah, it's a good
choice. You can openly admit that some movies aren't as good as others, and I feel like... This might be one of those movies that just isn't what it was presented to be. I mean, I think the marketing can destroy a movie. And this is one of those movies that it looks like a very... I don't know if it was that... It was light enough to be a kid's movie, man. I keep saying that over and over again. But I think some of the acting was extraordinary. Ben Kingsley kills it every time. You know, he's incredible.
Yeah, he's
Sacha Baron Cohen... A little overbearing in the role of the security guard, the station inspector, that had no name. I feel like with his style of comedy and his aggressiveness on screen, he owns the screen at the time, but it can also get kind of annoying. You know what I mean? I don't know if I dislike him, but it just was very, I don't know.
I definitely see where you're going. I mean, I didn't really have much of a problem with him. There really wasn't anybody in the film that I thought was not good. I don't know how I feel about Chloe Moretz. Like, I feel like I liked her in Let Me In and Kick-Ass, but I feel like the weak link of the film in terms of acting might have been her. The boy
you think
that
so?
Plays Hugo was incredible. Yeah, I don't know. Like, something about her just overacted. Maybe it was just like the wonderment of a kid, you know, like kind of trying to just seeking out adventure. But the kid, Asa Butterfield, I thought the boy that played Hugo was great. I mean, like, I thought he just was.
Yeah, he was incredible. Was
seamless.
Was
incredible. Like, he was so good.
Yeah, he really, one of the recurring themes in the movie is kind of his desperation to figure out his purpose. And his seeking out his purpose inspires a lot of people around him, because he, even with what little he has, he's still a very passionate person. He still has a lot of love in his heart, and he really wants to help people. He wants George to kind of find his way. He wants him to rediscover his love. He feels like that might be his purpose at the time.
Yeah.
But from that comes a lot of interesting situations with his good friend, who kind of on the case with him, trying to figure out George adopted her, right? Emily.
I think Emily, she refers to him as her godfather. Yeah, godfather. I'm not exactly sure. That probably was where we passed out for a little bit.
Yeah. Chloe Moretz, Isabel, her kid. Yeah. You think, I don't know, man. I think she's a decent actress.
I didn't say she was bad. I just feel like if I had to point out.
She was born in 2007.
What?
No, why does, I mean, 1997.
What the hell?
I mean, I'm sorry. 1997. How old is that? Jesus Christ. That's so young, man.
She's 14 years
14
old.
14 years old. She doesn't look 14 in this
picture. That's when she was in Kick-Ass. There was all that uprising about, like, you know, at that point she was, like, under 13, I believe.
Right.
And, like, you know, her cursing and, you know.
Oh, let him curse.
All that crap.
Let him curse. But the movie in general...
There's also a lot of, this is really random, but I made note of it last night, but there's a lot of, like, Harry Potter alumni in this movie.
Right.
Did you notice that?
There was.
Do you know who I'm referring to?
Wasn't Christopher Lee in Harry Potter? Am I getting this craziness? He was in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, that you haven't seen.
That I haven't seen.
No, I'm talking about, so there's... Helen McCrory, who plays Mama Jean, who is George Melies's wife, or, you know, his muse, she's in Harry Potter as the Malfoy matriarch.
Mm-hmm.
And then two characters that play Harry's uncle and one of the headmistresses of the all girls, like, witches school from The Goblet of Fire, they're also in this movie. And I'm sure there's more that I'm just not even seeing, but I don't know if that's, like, has anything to do with it. the fact that the movie was, that it was shot over, you know, in London. But I don't know. That was really weird. I don't know if you even noticed that, but
I didn't. You did. You did.
And I don't know, man. I pick up stupid shit like that.
No, it's nothing wrong with that. It's very observant.
I was like, oh, she was in Harry Potter. She's Draco's mother.
Right, right.
And you were just sleeping.
I was just sleeping. I mean, but when I was, I don't really know what to think about it, honestly. Like, at the end of the day, is it
Madame Emily, that was the woman's name.
Is it strong enough for this movie to hold up? Is this, I feel like this is one of those projects, pet projects, that he held really close to him. Obviously, he attached himself to it very quickly after reading a book. This is one of those films that I feel like he wants a pet project that he wanted to release before he died. You know what I mean? Because he can. You know
and
what
you know
I mean?
What? I mean, maybe it's great that he made it. I mean, who knows? Maybe it'll do well. I don't know. Like, I just think that the one thing, you know, that is not going to give it a lot of legs in terms of box office and performance, it'll probably do great critically because of, you know, it is a good it is a great looking film. I don't think that you could say that the plot is really, or that as a filmmaking endeavor, it fails in any way. But, like, just thinking as a moviegoer, a mainstream audience moviegoer, I don't think there's a lot of connection going to be made, you know?
It's so slow.
The audience that we saw it with was pretty mixed on it. Like, there were some good things, there was some bad feedback. But I think overall, like, most of the people that we went to see it with were either mixed or negative. Yeah. You know, and that was a pretty diverse group. But it just, I don't think it has that charm or that magic that a film coming out around holiday has or should have.
They don't make them like they used to. I don't know how else to say it, man. They don't make them like they used to. It didn't feel like... It had all the elements that could have made this thing amazing.
Yeah.
And it didn't.
Yeah.
It wasn't. So overall,
Yeah.
Yeah, I won't see it again.
If you love film and you appreciate the history of it and know who
I love that part.
George Milius is, check it out.
I'm not going to lie to you. The stuff about with Ben Kingsley, his character George, as it's unfolding, all that stuff.
Yeah.
It got a little emotional for me, man. I like that part. I like that part where they're kind of, he's finally connecting with his past and it gets a little emotional. But the movie overall fell a little flat for me.
Okay. So. Yeah, it's in theaters now. Give it a shot if you're really into film history, love Martin Scorsese or Ben Kingsley, or have a weird crush on Chloe Moretz, and she's only 14 years old, let me remind you.
Makes me feel weird.
Yeah, you should feel weird. So moving on to our DVD quick picks.
Okay.
I'll kick it off. I'm going to talk about a film. When I talk about, like, these PG-13 rated films that come out that kind of go after that family charm, like, in the fantasy realm, mm-hmm. I think of movies like Princess Bride, you know, things like that when I was younger seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a film that came out about 4 years ago or so called Stardust, directed by Matthew Vaughn, who now has been pretty well known from doing films like X-Men First Class, Kick-Ass. He's definitely made a name for himself in terms of like a visual style that he has. But doing that film, this movie that came out, like I said, a few years ago, it's called Stardust. It's a fantasy film. Stars Robert De Niro, Sienna Miller, Claire Danes, Ian McKellen is the actual narrator of the story. But it's basically a story about a falling star Claire Danes plays the star. A literal star, not a movie star.
Oh, okay.
A star that falls from the sky. And there's in a small town, there's a young man who's actually played by Charlie Cox. For anybody that watches Boardwalk Empire, he is Owen Slater. He plays one of the male lead in the film. He makes a promise to his girl, mm-hmm. who's played by Sienna Miller, that he's going to retrieve this fallen star. By going on this magical journey, and the fallen star is Claire Danes, obviously. It's a really, really great family film. I didn't see it in theaters. I saw it after it hit DVD, just from the recommendations from some people. And it taps into that magic of what I feel like that holiday, I don't even think it came out around the holidays, but that fantasy film can have. The film was actually really well received by the critics and also pretty decent box office. But I know that Hugo, just to kind of compare them, doesn't really go too deep into the fantasy world, because mm-hmm. it does have a lot of realism in it, and it's based in reality in a lot of ways. it just, I feel like it had to have some little element to take, like, if you're a kid, you know, to take you and just let you go on an adventure. And this is the kind of movie that has that.
Right.
Stardust, again, it came out in 07. If you're looking for the connection to Hugo, like I said, Charlie Cox is the male lead. He plays Owen Slater in Boardwalk Empire, which Martin Scorsese produces.
Gotcha.
So there's your 2 degrees of Martin Scorsese.
I don't.
So now you got your DVD quick pick. Let's see if we can connect that to Hugo.
Well, the Stardust, I can connect it to Stardust because there's another gentleman from Boardwalk Empire. This movie is Shane Meadows' movie, This Is England.
Yeah.
It's basically a biopic about his life in 1983, being a troubled little kid and kind of stumbling upon some skinheads that pretty much embrace him. And it gets crazy from there. It basically is, he likes the energy of them. He likes the value system that they have. But there's also this deep hatred for anything that is not pure white.
Got it.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's, he kind of falls into that. Stephen Graham, who plays on Boardwalk Empire, incredible actor, plays the main skinhead.
Combo.
His name is Combo.
Yeah, I've seen
Combo
this movie.
Is incredible
awesome
in this
movie.
So it's one of those movies. It's a little disturbing because of the subject matter, skinheads and stuff like that. But it's a very honest look at this kid's childhood. Shane Meadows, a great director. A lot of British actors. I'm going to throw out some names. Joe Hartley, Rosamund Hanson. Some of these people, and Stephen Graham, some of the main actors. You should definitely check this movie out if you want
to
kind of.
So you do have a connection to Hugo, because as long as you can track it back to Boardwalk.
Yeah.
So there we go.
Boardwalk.
Stephen Graham, Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah, yeah.
He produces it.
Directed the first
pilot,
episode.
Yeah.
So yeah, check that out. This Is England.
Yeah, I've seen that film. I definitely recommend it.
Yeah.
Awesome great. Film. So that's gonna do it for this week's episode. I know we missed last week. We had a little trouble kind of finding a movie that we wanted to review.
Yeah.
We'll try to get back on track after the holiday. But, you know, as always, keep checking us out. Hit us up on the social sites, movieschmovie.net, which is our Tumblr page. We have the movieschmovie@gmail.com, which if you listen to this, please send us some emails.
Yeah.
We're looking for suggestions for new features for the podcast, any kind of feedback, criticism.
We appreciate it.
Any movies you want us to review for the Mighty Minute? It's all we're open to this. You know, we're all open to suggestions.
Even Suspiria like movies.
I don't know. I might draw the line there. There's a line in the sand right there.
No,
I'm just kidding.
Will
just
not
kidding.
Watch.
I'm just kidding. I'm open to whatever. I'll try anything. But yeah, so hit that up if you can. And I know it's annoying, but please, if you listen to us on iTunes or Mixcloud, share it with somebody.
Share it and
like,
rate
just
it, bitch.
Post it on your Facebook.
Please.
You know, seriously, it's like one click when you're done listening, and it would totally help us out.
Take those lardy fat hands, extend them, take them, move it over to the ratings, write a little brief, I like this, period.
Yeah. Saying. Yeah.
5 stars.
5 stars.
Quick and easy.
Quick and easy.
Yeah.
And then tell your friend to do the same thing.
Yeah.
And then if they tell their friend, you know what they call that? Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
It's a snowball.
Right. We're not asking you to sell your first daughters or poke a hole in a condom. We're asking you to do something really, really
simple. There's probably a really good market out there for selling your first daughters.
Right. Just do it.
Yeah.
Just do it. I'm sorry.
Do the rating. Don't sell your first daughter.
Don't sell your first
daughter. That's kind of insensitive.
That is insensitive.
But
and irresponsible.
That's a whole different podcast, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank we should you for look listening. At that. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you guys as always. And we'll talk to you soon. And.
Do, 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 do.
Took it back to 4th grade, back to when you used to. When I stopped saying Scorsese and moved Scorsese and moved Scorsese.
Right. Right. The stage that I'm kind of stuck in.
You're stuck in. You're just perpetually in 4th grade. That's okay. One day.
And
one
I say day. Oinch instead of orange.
Oinch.
I don't say oinch.
Yeah, you do not say
oinch. I know somebody that says it,
liar.
Though. That's kind of weird.
You're making that person up right now.
Oinch.
All right, guys. You made our day. Thanks a lot for listening.
Bye-bye.
See ya.